Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard on VSiN.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is another edition of the Lombardi Line on a Tuesday from downtown Las Vegas, our Circus Sportsbook studios. Bit of a line change today, Michael. You were so excited watching the game last night. One of the biggest upsets of the year. No off day for Michael. Michael Lombardi, he is here today. Pritch will be with us tomorrow. And in a week where we already had one insane result with that Vikings-Bills finish Sunday, Michael, what did you make of the 11-point outright upset in Philadelphia last night with the Washington Commanders getting the job done?
You know, there's two reactions I have, and I wrote about it today for VSiN. It should be up later. But I think the first reaction centers on Washington, right? So if you're Washington, Taylor Heinicke isn't as talented as Carson Wentz. He doesn't throw the ball as far. He doesn't run as fast. And he's certainly not big as Carson Wentz is. But he's got leadership skills. And what he does for that football team is they believe in him. And there's faith in that huddle, even though he has some really bad plays at times and he frustrates you. You know, and he's small, so he overthrows the ball in the middle of the field. But there was a sense of, we can win this game with him at quarterback. And there's really no decision for Ron Rivera moving forward. Heinicke's their best quarterback right now. Let him keep going. That was pretty clear last night where he was able to convert a lot of third downs. They were able to make critical plays. You know, they took the points when they had to take them. They got the fourth down when they had to. So I thought it was really one of their best performances. And it also shows that you can win games by controlling the game with your offense. Remember, I always believe this. You play better defense when you play less defense. Well, you played 19 minutes of defense yesterday. That helped. Philadelphia needed this. Philadelphia needed this more than anything. They needed cold water thrown on the party that's going on because you don't want to go undefeated. If you have a chance, Ben, I would urge you to read the book 13-0. If 17-0, it's about the Miami Dolphins Super Bowl season where they were able to win the Super Bowl, 14-0, and then they win the playoff games and they have an undefeated season. So I think that it's so hard to do that, right? It's so difficult to be undefeated and have that pressure constantly on you that this was a game where Philly did something that they hadn't done all year, which was turn the ball over four times. Going into the game, they had three turnovers for the entire season. And I thought this is great for them, and I thought their head coach's reaction after the game, as the Philadelphia media is trying to blame the officials for the loss, the coach took accountability and said, no, we didn't play good enough to win the game. Forget the officials.
Right. Marshall John Fisher, the author of that outstanding 17-0, I think it's not zero, it's O, like O-H.
Oh, O-H, yes, the, it sure is. Good call. You must have read it, or you read my column.
I always read your column, Michael, you know, when I get ready for the show. But yes, that's on my list. I have not read it. Not ready yet. I'm making my way through though. One book a month. That's the goal here. But for you mentioned on the Philadelphia side, I want to stick there first. Circle back to Washington. This was a team that had not trailed in the second half all season, and we were really waiting to see. Okay, when Philadelphia ran into a little bit of in-game adversity, how would they handle it? And as you point out, four turnovers, more than they had the entire season, even in a game where the yards per play they were clearly superior to Washington, but could not get the Commanders off the field with the 12 third down conversions given up. The thing I came out of that game wondering, Michael, was what Washington did offensively. Is that a legitimate blueprint to beat Philadelphia going forward, where it really looked like Washington's whole goal was just, let's get to third and three or short and just figure it out from there? Or is converting 12 out of 21 third downs not really a sustainable plan of attack going forward against a Philadelphia team that, for the most part, has been very good in those situations until last night?
Well, I think it's concerning if you're Philly, because that's San Francisco's game plan. I mean, that's what San Francisco does to a T, right? That's what Dallas wants to do, right? And so they got into a double sync look, which is basically the old Buddy Ryan defense, where you cover up the guards and you cover up the center. And you have two ends on the edge of the line. Now, sometimes you rush four, sometimes you drop one of those ends, sometimes you don't. But they're off tackle. The C gaps in that defense is where you must attack. And you've got to have success. And even though their offensive line is not very good, Washington was able to attack those C gaps. And look, let's face it, they didn't gain. I mean, they didn't make an explosive run. They just kept getting positive yards. They didn't get called for holding. They didn't get called for false starts. They were able to kind of manipulate their way down the field. And look, the Eagle defense, when you break it down, I mean, when you watch it, I believe it was four first downs by penalties in the game. You know, and when you do that, you know, they had seven penalties for 75 yards, four first downs allowed by penalty. I mean, that's a huge factor. That's a huge factor when you get that done. So, yeah, I think this is a blueprint. But I think the best part for Philly is they know what teams are going to want to do. Now, here's, to me, what I said on Monday, which is what I think happened in the game. Is the second time you go through the batting order against Philadelphia, where you kind of know what their speed is, you kind of know how they want to attack you, you've got a better chance to adjust to it. And you can come out of it with a better game plan. Now, I think that's what other teams are going to do. They're going to say, hey, look, we got to take away the inside run. We got to set the edge with our linebackers. And we've got to be able to react to the quarterback, because he's not going to look us off. He's going to throw where he wants to throw the ball. He's going to tell us where he wants to throw the ball. So we're going to react on it. And I think that was what Washington tried to do as well as they could. I'm not blaming the loss on Hurts at all. I thought Hurts was fine. You know, but they didn't make an explosive play in the game. Other than the 50-yard play, they did not have an explosive play. The longest play Philadelphia offense had in the game was 16 yards.
And when you're only on the field for 6 minutes, 11 seconds in the first half, and less than 20 minutes for the entire game, it obviously then, yes, as an offense, it puts you behind the eight ball. Your margin for error is that much smaller. But I just look at the defensive side and I say a team that was 30th against the run on the EPA per play allowed basis going in, now 31st, it's a pretty big chasm between a defense that we all view as being top five, but there is that one minor area. And I don't know, I would have said minor before because it hadn't really been exposed, Michael, in any of the first 8 games the Eagles played. You have to think that's got to be the concern now going forward, especially now that the book is out and Washington showed what they could do to exploit that. And you think about, we look at the schedule here, the teams that Philadelphia plays, and you look at the Colts this week where they are a large favorite on the road, but the Packers against Dallas proved that by running the football effectively, they were able to pull a big upset win. We know what Tennessee's strength is running the ball. Same thing can be said for the Giants, for the Bears. Cowboys, you could make that same claim. And as you mentioned, that's also going to be the second time they'll have faced the Cowboys in that Week 16 spot. So really outside of the Colts this week, who prior to their win against the Raiders had zero ability to block anybody. Everybody left on the schedule, Michael, is pretty much a run first ball control type team, wouldn't you say?
I would agree. And look, let's not forget, I know the Colts, but they beat the Chiefs. I mean, people forget that they beat the Chiefs. I mean, the Colts are not exactly the worst team in football. They were poorly coached. Their offensive line wasn't playing very well. I don't think Saturday had a lot to do with that win on Sunday, even though people want to give them credit for it. But the reality is they protected Ryan. He was finally healthy, and they made enough plays. I think a lot of it was the Raiders didn't make a play at the end of the game more than the Indy was so good. That being said, obviously there were 7.0 yards per play. But let's go back. I think Philly, when you look at it, going back to the Arizona game, which was a close game, right? You know, the Arizona was able to run the football. Dallas, with Cooper Rush, a quarterback, ran for 134. You know, Pittsburgh, out of the game, so that didn't really count, even though they ran for 144. Houston was in the game. Houston ran for 160. Actually, ran the ball more than they threw for it. And yesterday was fairly balanced, 178 passing, 152 rushing. So, yeah, I think, to me, if the best way to play Philly is to not let them get that big lead. And I think what we've seen early in the season when they beat Minnesota, when they beat Washington, when they beat Jacksonville, they had these huge leads, and then we couldn't really tell about their team because the other team was playing against the clock, not against the Eagles, and the Eagles were surrendering yards almost like, I don't care, we won the game. The last two weekends have been different. You know, that Houston game was closer than the 12 points, and this game obviously was close.
And you look at right now, just updating our current line, we've seen this come down to 6.5 now. Philadelphia was, at least the books that put that game up before the Monday night game, as more of a placeholder. It was
Is
Eagles
it 6.5 now?
Yeah, it was 9 yesterday going into the game. 6.5 market-wide, Philadelphia in Indianapolis.
Oh, I think that's an absolute take on Philly right now.
I mean, there's no chance.
You know, they're going to – first of all, they've got to do a better job of pressuring. The Raiders didn't pressure Matt Ryan. You know, and they're going to be able to have to get after it a little bit. They didn't really pressure Heinicke. When Washington stopped going to empty and leaving the left tackle Leno alone, right, and they kind of went to tight ends and started to chip and give themselves some time, and they got out of their empty looks, they were able to get Philly to play more zone, you know, and so they were able to have some easy throws for Heinicke. And then they couldn't cover McLaurin, let's face it. They couldn't cover McLaurin. I think this is a different story against Indianapolis. I think they'll be able to get after Indy, and I think Indy will have a hard time stopping them. Now, Indy's fast on defense, so that helps them, but I think Indy's going to have a hard time stopping this run game.
And that total 45 also, that's seen some love to the over as well. We'll also get to the Washington side of this. It'll lead us into examining the playoff pictures here, especially for the NFC when we come back in our next segment, Michael. But you look at a Washington team that's now 4-1 with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback, 5-5 overall in the season, and the only loss with Heinicke as a starter, had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter against 8-1 Minnesota. Had Ron Rivera in Washington, had they not traded for Wentz? I know it's always in hindsight 2020 to look at the hypotheticals here, but where, as much as the stats don't really jump off the page and everything you said is true, Heinicke doesn't have the same talent as a Wentz, what is the Washington record right now if they had just gone with Heinicke from day one?
Well, I mean, look, against Tennessee, I mean, he's going to beat Tennessee. They destroyed Tennessee.
Right.
I mean, they literally destroyed. Tennessee had no business winning that game. I mean, other than the interception went through. I mean, they basically, I mean, when you watch that tape and you look at that game book, you're like, how did they lose this game? You know, like, what happened? You know, and it was remarkable. So, you know, they let games get away because I don't think the team, I think what Jim Irsay says about Wentz, I think, is true around the league. I just don't think the players buy into him.
You could probably make the case you flip the Tennessee and the Detroit games with how the game flows went, and you're looking at a team that could be, you know, not to overreact, could be 7-3 right now. How will that actually work, though, going forward? Is this a sell high spot in the market for Washington? We'll discuss that next because they are right on the edge of that playoff picture in the NFC. We're just getting started on the Lombardi Line. Will Hill, Josh Applebaum, our guest today. We'll look at that playoff picture when we come back.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. With our producer, Matt Santos, behind the glass, I'm Ben Wilson in for Patrick. Patrick back on Thursday. We've got Michael not wanting to take a day off because we have a lot to discuss, Michael. So it's great to see you today. We're looking
I'll take
at
one tomorrow, though. I'm going to take one tomorrow. Sometimes
tomorrow.
You got to flip them. You know, when you only get one day off a week, you got to flip them sometimes, you know? And so, I mean, it's okay. I'm not complaining. I don't work. The one great thing about this career in the NFL and this career in media has been I never feel like you work a day in your life. It's just when you can talk about something you love or you can participate in something you love, it's really not work.
I feel the same exact way.
I worked on my uncle's garbage truck, that was work. Now
that was a little
work.
Different. Okay, good. At least you did have some sort of manual labor, though, at least in your background, as we find out.
Not much.
A little bit. It was just enough to keep you honest. So we're talking NFC playoff picture, which going into this past week, basically our whole presumption was, if San Francisco takes care of business and wins, you figure Philadelphia, maybe they wouldn't cover 11 or 11 and a half. At least they'd win the game. And you had Dallas as a pretty sizable road favorite in Green Bay. Michael, you kind of figured if those results all held, playoff picture was basically set. But two upset wins, the massive one, as we just talked about, Washington, now 5-5, half game back of San Francisco for that final spot in the wild card race. Green Bay all of a sudden appears to have a pulse at 4-6 with a coin flip game coming up on Thursday. We'll give our breakdowns a little bit later. Between the Commanders, the Packers, and I guess we'll throw the Falcons in there. Of those three, any you feel at this point have a legit shot to crack that top seven in the NFC?
Well, I mean, look, we know this. The South's given us one team, okay?
Right.
And so we know that, all right? So we kind of have a sense of that. I think we can pronounce the Rams dead on arrival. I don't think the Rams or Arizona are a legitimate team. So let's take them out. So now we have two from the South, one from the West. That leaves four remaining, okay? That leaves four remaining. Well, we know Minnesota and Philly are going to be one. There's two. So it's really going to come down to the Giants, Dallas, Washington, and Green Bay. Washington has an advantage over Green Bay. They beat them. Dallas doesn't. You know, the Giants still have to play Green Bay. So that when you look at this Washington schedule, Ben, as before they get to the bye, they're in Houston. They come back and play Atlanta, which they should be able to dominate Atlanta, especially at home, because Atlanta's really not going to run the football against that front of Washington, or they shouldn't, let's say that. The game that'll be interesting is in the Meadowlands before they have the bye, where they go up there and they play the Giants on December the 4th after Thanksgiving. So we'll see. But, I mean, they have a legitimate chance to get into the bye week at 8-5. And if they get into the bye week and then they play the Giants again after the bye, and they end the season with Cleveland and Dallas, I mean, they got a chance to get to 10 wins. I don't think they're a good team, but because of the NFC, we know the NFC is not very good. You could start tacking up wins, especially considering that the South is just – there's not a good team in the South, including Tampa. Maybe they're starting to come around.
Right. I know. Yeah, we put Atlanta in there just because it makes for the nice graphic and everything, but we're both of the belief it's going to be a one-team representation from the NFC South. We mentioned the Rams having them kind of dead on arrival. The news comes out today. Cooper Kupp officially going on IR. And the big game of the odds board, Michael, that's lighting up in front of me is this Rams-Saints game. It's now Saints, I'm seeing, up to 4 here after that opened basically Saints minus 1.5. So it just seems like for the Rams, it's gone from bad to worse. We haven't really done the official proclamation that they are dead, but feels like this is the time to officially do so.
I mean, they were pronounced dead on arrival today when I was working on my numbers and coming up with my lines for the week. Because in my power rankings, the Rams are the 31st team. And again, this is subjective. This isn't based. This isn't subjective. This is based on numerical numbers. I mean, the Rams are not in the top 7 categories in any statistical number. There is zero there. So besides Houston, you know, they are one of the worst teams in the league, you know, in terms of their numbers. And it's been a decline for the last 5 weeks. And there's no getting out of it. Like, they're just not a good team. I know they wear Super Bowl uniforms. I know they've got a great head coach. I'm not disputing that. But their team is not good. They've got way too many injuries. This isn't the team that they thought they would have. And now with Kupp, where's the ball going? Are they really going to play Wolford another week, or are they going to Bryce Perkins? I can't imagine Stafford comes back. I wrote about this for the VEASAN today. Like, I could see Sean McVay being on Amazon next year. Like, this is a rebuilding process. This is not one of those, hey, we're going to tinker here, tinker there. No. This is, we are going to have to take it down to the studs. We're going to have to call in the contractors. Forget about price. This is going to be expensive. I don't see it. I mean, that game, I admire you for betting Arizona. That was a no-brainer for betting Arizona last week. The Arizona, A, is better with Colt McCoy than they are with Kyler Murray. And B, the Rams aren't any good. Why not bet them?
Yeah, it's easy to, again, always easy to say in retrospect, but to me, that was the most mispriced game of the week. And as soon as that went over 3, favoring John Wolford and a Rams team with no personnel and tons of injuries over a legitimate backup in Colt McCoy, who has won games before in that similar role for Arizona.
He just can't stay healthy. And he can't put 5 or 6 games together in a row because he gets beat up. But in terms of just executing an offense and throwing the ball in time and being in rhythm, Colt McCoy's, I mean, he's a good player. I wish I had a career like Colt McCoy as a player.
Not bad whatsoever.
I mean, you make a lot of money as a backup. You know, he just can't stay healthy. The other guy, to me, the same problem that Carson Wentz has in the Washington locker room is the same problem that guy has out there in his locker room. Like, you want to, if they're going to go back to him because his hamstring, I'm sure, is going to be a little better. You know, and they're an 8-point dog against San Francisco. I mean, how are they making plays against San Francisco?
Great question. Teaser leg galore, I would think, just like San Francisco was the big teaser leg this
you
past
love those
week.
Teasers.
You know I do. San Francisco and Arizona, that's the Monday night game from the Azteca in Mexico City this week. No definitive injury news yet on Arizona quarterback Kyler Murray after missing last week with the hamstring. But we're proclaiming the Rams dead. We think Washington has a chance. And remember, that was a team that was at an 8.5 win total. A lot of respected money hammered that under all the way down to 7.5 by the time the season started. And Washington might, it looks like 9-8, maybe even 10-7 is a realistic pathway now. The tertiary question off of that becomes the Packers here. Are you willing to believe, Michael, that what the Packers showed, really the first signs of life they have demonstrated all season in an upset win 31-28 in overtime over the Cowboys is pretty healthy home dogs? Is that enough to make you think, well, maybe there's something there for this Packers team in the final half of the season?
I'm not ready to go there. I think defensively they're still not very good. You know, I think if Dallas doesn't turn the ball over twice in the second quarter, Dallas should run away with that game. I think Dallas beat themselves, not Green Bay beat them. I think that was one of those. And I also think that their special teams haven't gotten any better. Now, I think the question is, have they found their rhythm? You know, are they better? I mean, you should be relieved. Matt LaFleur slept at the office Sunday night after the game. He's preparing for Tennessee. This will be a little harder game than you think it will be. Assuming now Tennessee had 5 starters out last week, are they going to come back this week? You know, are they going to be healthy enough for the Thursday game? And what's amazing about Vrabel's team is he loses players left and right. He has very few good players, and when he loses them, he still wins. You know, last year he lost Derrick Henry, and here comes Foreman, picks him up off the scrap heap, and next thing you know, Foreman's playing well. So, to me, you know, I think this will be a hard game for Green Bay. Will they run the ball against a really good front? The Tennessee strength is their front. Can they do that? I think we'll know more Friday morning about Green Bay's chances in the NFC playoff.
Totally fair. Next segment, we'll do our full breakdown of this Thursday night game. There's some injury news, too, that we'll have to monitor on the quarterback on the Tennessee side for Ryan Tannehill. And, yeah, it's funny with Green Bay because we always talk about the late game variance and how it plays out and how it shapes our view of teams going forward. We could have that discussion with Buffalo. It's like, how much different would our conversation about the Bills and Josh Allen be if they just execute a quarterback sneak 6 inches forward and they win the game by four, or if a defensive back just swats a ball down on 4th and 18 instead of trying to intercept it? You can make the same case about Green Bay down 28-14 with what, 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You have a 4th and 7 that you end up getting a blown coverage on and Christian Watson scores. It's like, how much different would the thought on Green Bay be this week, Michael, if it wasn't for what I thought was maybe the most poorly coached in-game management decision all year by Mike McCarthy in Dallas?
Yeah, I think they got away from their formula, didn't they? I thought they did. You know, I mean, Dak's thrown it 40 sometimes. I mean, here's the thing. I think you could ask this trivia question all over. How many times did Aaron Rodgers throw the ball on Sunday and counting overtime? 20.
Amazing.
Think about that. I mean, that's finally the formula we've been begging for the whole year. They finally utilized it.
Was what, 6 of 10? Do you have faith?
Do you have any faith he's going to do it this week? Do you have any faith he's not going to throw it 50 times this week?
We'll see. And now it's on the short week. You have a coaching mismatch, you would think. Mike Vrabel versus Matt LaFleur. We're going to discuss next. There's also the news on Ryan Tannehill. We have to break down and kind of parse together how healthy is Tannehill after he was pretty limited, even in a win for the Titans over the Broncos this past Sunday. We'll discuss next Thursday Night Football Titans pack. Our early thoughts coming up next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
College basketball has started, and now is the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide at over 400 pages. It's our biggest betting guide ever with odds, trends, power ratings, and analysis on every team. Our team of experts, including Greg Hoops, Peterson, and Matt Eumanns, provide their predictions for win totals, futures, conference champions, tournament teams, and breakdowns of all 60 coaching changes since last season. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $99 and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do all the way through the Super Bowl. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back in for Patrick Maher. I'm Ben Wilson with Michael Lombardi. Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line. We'll visit with Will Hill in a little bit, our VSiN analyst. And Michael, we start to look ahead now for Thursday Night Football. Two teams that suddenly are very much alive in the playoff picture. Tennessee leading the AFC South, and they do it yet again. It's just amazing to watch the lack of personnel, but the amount of production Mike Vrabel gets out of his Tennessee Titans. Beat Denver 17-10 in a game they trailed 10-0 and were getting viscerally outplayed for most of the first half. Going out of Lambeau, Packers fresh off that emotional win over the Cowboys as a 3.5-4 point home dog. And the Packers are laying 3. What do you make of the early line move here from Pack from 2.5 up to the field goal?
You know, I think to me, I my sense of this is I never want to play Tennessee because they're so ugly, and you feel like they're like this ticking time bomb that you hold it and you're going to be the time where they just show how bad they really are. You know, but then when I break the game down, I mean, you know, I have it as an 0.45 game, which tells me I got to take Tennessee if I take it. They're always a game one way or the other. It's always 3 points on either side, right, Ben?
Yeah.
I mean, so like I can't really explain to you like why, how they do it. I mean, when I broke it down this morning, I mean, they're strong in 6 areas in the top 7 of the categories that I look for, you know, and they're getting better in those categories. So I mean, I would play. I don't trust that LaFleur is going to come in here and all of a sudden decide, okay, I can run the ball, when he sees this front and he says, okay, how am I going to run the ball against this front? You know, and look, they gave up 10 points to Denver last week, and Denver had every opportunity, but then what, Denver punted 11 times in the game. So, you know, and they harassed him, and this is without 5 of their starters.
You just think about, for Green Bay, what was the blueprint to success? It was running the ball against the Dallas run D that by overall metrics was in the bottom 10 and were able to take advantage of that. As you mentioned now, Tennessee, they've been top five run defense pretty much all year. So it's like, how much discipline can you really count on? And for Aaron Rodgers, who was, you know, you talk about what the game plan and the play calling is going to be, who was furious yelling at Matt LaFleur late in that game for not being aggressive in the two-minute situation. Now that they unlock Christian Watson, who was hurt again but comes back, has three touchdowns, kind of his breakout-type game as a rookie, you kind of get that sense, right, that now that there's sort of that apple or a little bit of the carrot, right, dangled in front of Rodgers, oh, you know, we made some plays downfield. He's only going to want to be more aggressive now and look to attack, even if, as you just pointed out, that might not be the best option for optimal success going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm always – and then I'm worried about – because, you know, Vrabel's such a great three-dimensional coach, right? So he's able to handle it. So he's able to, you know, he throws it well. You know, I mean, he plays well on defense. He complements his offense. I mean, last week, think about it, Ben. I mean, they didn't win the game with Henry didn't run the ball. Henry didn't run the ball. I mean, he wasn't very good running the football. So I don't know. I mean, I never want to bet against him. It's either Tennessee or don't play the game. For me, I'm not betting Green Bay. I think there's a formula Green Bay has to play. I'm not sure they're good enough on defense to stop this Tennessee run game. And Tennessee finds a way to get things. I mean, they played a doubleheader against Kansas City and still came back and won.
Right. 19 carries, 53 yards. That was it. 2.8 yards a carry for Derrick Henry in the last game. You know how much I love a good teaser, Michael. This profiles perfectly. If you want to get involved with Thursday night, I would only play Tennessee taking them up through, as right now, you could tease Tennessee up to 9. You're asking Green Bay, an offense still really limited with weapons, to beat you by margin here. And we've seen this play out now. We've had the most one-score games through 10 weeks in NFL history. We're at the lowest scoring, average scoring margin in these games on pace since 1970. It's a pretty simple strategy. If you look at teams that are short underdogs with the opportunity to manipulate their line forward, you need a dance partner if you're looking at these two-team six-point teasers. But you combine that with the coaching edge, Mike Vrabel against Matt LaFleur, you have to give Tennessee a little bit here. And it would make sense that this is more of a field goal game. I don't know why you'd want to bet the side pregame without seeing anything here. Probably look to attack this in-game, but this will be the tried and true teaser angle I'd be looking at for Thursday.
Yeah, I think you got to be. I think you said it really well before. Is Tannehill wasn't healthy last week, right? I don't think Tannehill was healthy at all. And when you break that game down, you know, and you say, you know, what they did, they made a trick play. They had a long pass. I mean, they weren't really. They had three drives that scored points, but other than that, that was it. I mean, Willis turned the ball over when they put him in for the trick play. So, I mean, I think you got to really check. To me, you can't play this game unless you really study that injury history. Right there, you can't play it, because how do you know who's going to be in the game? And even though Tennessee does a remarkable job of overcoming all the – I mean, that they have 6 wins, Ben, with this team. If somebody else was coaching this team with 6 wins, they're 26th in points. They're 32nd in yards gained. They're 23rd in defensive yards allowed. I mean, you know, it's really kind of remarkable what they've been able to do, but here's where they're really good. They stop the run. And I think this is going to make LaFleur want to throw it. He's going to see that they're the number one run defense in football in terms of yards. They're 3 in terms of yards attempted. And so he's going to say, you know what, I'm not going to run the ball. You know, they haven't had a 100-yard rusher against them since Buffalo in week 2. I'm going to have to spread it around and throw it here to loosen them up. And look, the one thing we know about Tennessee, who loves uglier games more than Tennessee?
Oh, nobody. I could not turn away, even though that game was so bad and there were other games going. You just couldn't turn away from Broncos-Titans. There were 21 possessions combined going into the fourth quarter. 21 possessions. It's just amazing. And in a game where Tennessee had 14 first downs on 13 drives, they still find a way to win. I just can't believe that, you know, we talk about where these futures go and how – even from, you know, maybe from our perspective, looking at this on the X's and O's breakdowns, it might be a little bit different than what the betting market sees, because the narrative won't take into account the raw X's and O's on the field. But how is Mike Vrabel 100-1 to win Coach of the Year at BetMGM?
It's unbelievable.
How is that possible?
Because nobody really studies the game. They just look at, like, it's like somebody telling you that Justin Fields is playing really good at quarterback. You could say Justin Fields is playing good at running back, but he's not a quarterback. I mean, it's like we just assume this. It's like saying that Tua makes the offense go in Miami, that it's not Tyreek Hill. Okay, you want to say it, go ahead. Give him MVP votes. Sure, go ahead. Why not, you know? But you're not really understanding the game, or that the Raiders are a playoff caliber team, that Josh McDaniel's destroying them. Do you know what? Do you know what? I wrote this today too. Do you know what? You know what Derek Carr's record is in his 136 starts as an NFL player? He's got 59 wins. I mean,
wow.
like they people act like the Raiders are this incredible franchise. You know how many times they've been to the playoffs? And since 2002, when we went to the Super Bowl?
Twice.
Twice.
Yeah, that's.
Do you know how many times they've won the West since they've been to the since 2002? Zero.
Zero. It was 2015 wild card, right? Or 2016
wild card, 26 wild card,
and then last year, yeah.
And then last year, and they got fortunate, but like it's like people like all of a sudden Josh McDaniels has destroyed this franchise. Wait a minute, time out. Go through it all. They've had 12 head coaches. They've never settled on any program. Their quarterback, who everybody has, and look, I think he's a talented guy. He got 59 wins in 139 starts. Like, most people wouldn't be still starting after 136 starts and having 59 wins.
Yeah, 59 and 77, record for Carr. But that kind of illustrates, right, how perception versus reality when you're talking about NFL head coaches, no better illustrated than those odds we just threw out, where Mike Vrabel, you could probably argue, has done, if not the best, probably the second or third best coaching job this year, where he is yet 100-1, is not even going to sniff any votes most likely. And I do wonder, though, where the narrative goes from here with Nick Sirianni finally losing a game. Favorite at even money, but it seems like he's just been penciled in since about week three to win the award.
Right. But I mean, I think Sirianni's done a really good job. I thought what he did after the game was one of the most impressive things I've heard out of Nick Sirianni. The fact that he was accountable. He didn't let his team take this path that the Philadelphia media wants them to take, which is we got messed up by the official calls. I mean, look, you know, Brendan Graham hit the guy. You know, the Kemp was right there. He saw it. They missed the face mask. But I mean, come on. How many times do they miss calls in games? I mean, seriously, it's like this is the only time they miss a call is against the Eagles? Yeah. Come on, please.
Bad calls.
I mean,
I can go through sides.
I mean, wasn't that pass interference against Davante Adams in the end zone in the last play of the game? I thought it was. They didn't call it. So it wasn't.
Looking at it now, though, yeah, Sirianni still, it's so funny, still even money. Kevin O'Connell now, 4-1. He's second. Brian Daboll, 6-1. Mike McDaniel, 7-1. Mike Vrabel, come on, man. Come on, BetMGM. Give the guy a little respect. 100-1 right now to win Coach of the Year. Titans, Packers, that is a 3-point line right now, Michael. You make that game, though, basically a pick 'em based on your numbers for Thursday night. When we return, we'll see what Will Hill has to say about Thursday night and some of his Week 11 plays. I know Will's ready to go.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, next on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop at any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today, then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Time for our pro tip of the hour here at VSiN, of which you get 20 a day across the network. You can check all those out at VSiN.com. As we were talking about earlier, Michael, when you're looking at the futures market, now that we're into the back half of the season, don't blindly make futures wagers without first checking the schedules for teams going forward. Washington Commanders is a great example. If you look at them and you're thinking about when we see that win total market re-released on Washington, keep in mind how soft that schedule is going forward for the Washington Commanders and what they still have out in front of them. That was a very good tip by you.
But as I wrote about, I think there's two. You fade Washington if Wentz comes back, because I think that'll disrupt the team. I don't think that Rivera, who's kind of in tune to his team pretty well, and he's certainly a game manager. I mean, he doesn't call plays offense or defense, so I think he has a handle on it. I don't expect that to happen. The other thing is just keep – I mean, at what point do the Rams just – I mean, they're here's the thing. I mean, who has that Rams draft pick? I mean, New Orleans' draft pick, I think I heard yesterday, is the fourth overall in the draft right now, and Philadelphia has that, and the Rams gave their draft pick to somebody. I mean – I think it's the Lions.
It's funny. The Lions' own pick right now, I think, is worse than the pick they're going to get from the Rams, was what I saw.
That's right.
As of last check, I'm pulling that up to double check right now. Yeah, Lions right now would have their own pick is the 11th, and the pick they're getting from the Rams is 8th right now. If the season were to end today.
Yeah. So I mean, it is what it is, right?
It certainly is what it is. Houston in the driver's seat right now. They would have your number one pick at 1-7-1. Let's bring in Will Hill, our resident VSiN NFL analyst. Hey, not just NFL, but everything, as Will joins us right now. Will, you came on last Tuesday. You didn't think Josh Allen was going to play. You took a big number with the Vikings. As a Viking fan, as a Vikings bettor last week, I can't even imagine to think what that was like for you there down the stretch. Whereas Michael and I were on the other side, having Buffalo and just like, losing our minds with the final late-game sequence there.
Oh, well, there's an added layer of drama because I bought back. I took Buffalo -3.5. I had Minnesota +7, and I was sitting there right on 4.
Oh.
Just needed to take a snap. So, yeah, it was an eventful day.
Tough, man. What do you
get? Yeah. I mean, it's just I don't understand how Buffalo doesn't go with Mitch Morse over to the sideline and Josh Allen and say, okay, 5 snaps, guys. Let's make sure we get this handled. Because it's going to win. Nobody said this. Like, why wouldn't – you know, when a quarterback goes in, a new quarterback comes in. It used to be in the old days before shotgun was everything every play. That he would remember, they would go over the sideline and you would hurry up and get some snaps in before to put him back. Like, you know, you're going to be under center. You haven't been under center most of the game. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Well, the one thing I thought of, I remember watching an old Belichick clip of, hey, we're on our own one-inch line. We have nothing to lose. Let's just keep trying to draw them off sides. If we draw them off sides, we get 5 yards. If we get a penalty called on us, it's a half an inch. So you could just sit there and go hard count until you know, Minnesota's trying to jump the snap anyway. I thought they could have gone with more of a hard count there and just, hey, keep going until you draw them off sides and give yourself some room. If you got nothing to lose.
Yeah, that does.
That's exactly what happened in Super Bowl 49. I mean, I was panicked. I mean, after I recovered from the Malcolm Butler interception, after I gone from absolutely certain we were going to lose the game to winning the game. Now my thought was, oh my God, we're going to lose the game here because we can't advance the ball. And Michael Bennett did exactly what you said right there. He jumped off sides.
Yeah, the game within the game, and the Bills did not execute. They lose, fall to 6-3. You had that big late game upset, and you also had the big upset of the night last night with Philadelphia going down to Washington. We'll throw this game at you right now, Will, because we're going to have some disagreement, I would think. Michael, I know, likes the Eagles in a bounce-back spot against the Colts on the road this week, but you liked what you saw out of Indy. Make the case for the Colts this week.
I do. Now, we're getting to a point now. I think it's under 7, mostly 6.5, where, hey, yeah, when you're betting the other side of 7, it's all the difference in the world, obviously. Directionally, I like the Colts because I think it's a decent matchup for them. We know Philly struggles to run the ball. Taylor actually looked like Taylor for the first time last week, where he ran for 150 yards, 7 yards per carry. Then the other side of the ball, if you can shut down Philly's run game, you got a shot. And that's one thing Indy actually does pretty well. They hold opponents to 3.8 yards per carry. So, hey, if you can run it, if you can stop the run, we get a Philly team with no Goddard here for the next, I don't know, month or so. At 6.5, it's cutting it close, but directionally here, it would be Colts or nothing. I just don't know if I can grab the 6.5 when I miss the best numbers.
You know, I think, you know, one thing with Jordan Davis no longer out there, I mean, people have run the ball on Philly, and the formula is to keep the Eagle offense off the field. And what happened yesterday, I thought was plays into Indy's hands to a degree, is the fact that the longest play of the game, besides the 50-yard pass and fumble, was 16 yards for the Eagles. Now, we don't know where A.J. Brown is, because after he got hurt, he didn't look like the same player. And so, you know, like as you mentioned, without Goddard, without maybe A.J. Brown, is he hurt? I don't know. That could hurt them. But you're right. I mean, when Hurts has to throw the ball in a drop-back pass game and can't really run it, you know, it's a problem. I will say this. The six-back attack that's going on in the league, teams that have speed on defense give it trouble. And Indy's one of those teams that do run well.
Right. Very fascinating to see where that next move goes. Big move already down from 8.5, 9, now to 6.5 there in that Eagles-Colts matchup. And we just talked about the Vikings, Will. You come off that massive win. It's now 7 straight wins by a single possession. Vikings 8-1 right now. If they only were losing the tiebreak here for Philadelphia, tied for the number one seed, would be your number two seed if the playoffs started today. And they are home dogs against Dallas, going back to Minneapolis this week, about a point and a half dog, depending on where you look in the market. What do you make of the situation here with Dallas coming off that loss in Green Bay and the Vikings coming back home riding high?
Yeah, I haven't been too high on this Vikings team, but I got to say, and this is just on principle, I just think that minus side is on the wrong side. I think it should be the Vikings by a point and a half, to be getting a point and a half at home with, I think, a team that's pretty much dead even with Dallas. To me, doesn't make a lot of sense. That's a really good home crowd Minnesota has. So just on principle here, I like the Vikings. I think they're a great teaser option because, as we know, they play nothing but close games. So you can tease the Vikings up to 7, 7.5. I would do that sooner rather than later. But I actually like Minnesota here.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's funny. Minnesota's the home team, and they're not favorite. And their numbers, in my power rankings, they're ranked higher than Dallas. In my game strategy numbers, they're ranked higher than Dallas. And yet they still don't get any respect. So, you know, look, I think if Dallas does what they're capable of doing, which is can go back to the Cooper Rush game plan, run the ball, use Pollard, you know, be able to be – don't let Zeke throw it 50 times. I mean – Dak throw it 50 times. You can't do that. I mean, you got to manage the game, and I think there's got to be more accountability with their defense. Their gap integrity last week was horrendous, was really poor, and they didn't fit on the runs, and I think that was why they got beat. And if you don't fit on the runs like Buffalo learned, off to the races goes Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, hopefully we never have to see all the shots of Mike McCarthy wearing the tan coat picking up leaflets of grass at Lambeau Field ever again. I saw enough of those.
That was the Lombardi coat. I mean, I know Sneakers isn't there anymore, but there's a great picture online of Lombardi having breakfast at Sneakers. you know, and before he goes to work, you know, and in a suit and all that. You know, he went to Mass, he went to sneakers, they were there. I wonder if Mike McCarthy was doing that too.
It's the jacket, as Richie Aprile says.
It's the jacket.
It's the jacket. Of course.
The great Frank Renzulli.
Yes. So now
I will say this about the Vikings, though, just to jump in. This is a guarantee. That kicker at some point for Minnesota, Joseph, he's going to bite them because he is not reliable, misses extra points, misses field goals. The Vikings have a history of missing field goals. That guy's going to bite him at some point.
How about the Steelers? I mean, is that kicker still on the Steelers? Have you seen a worse kicker than the kicker in the Steelers game last week? I mean, that was as bad as it gets.
Yeah, there's some bad ones. There's just not 32 to go around. It's amazing. There's not 32 place kickers in the NFL. It's like that with quarterbacks. And it's funny. There's like 400 running backs that you seem you can just plug in and be productive. But some of these positions are just scarce.
What are you doing with the Steelers this week after that very impressive 20-10 win over the Saints as home dogs last week?
I would look towards the Steelers. I think the one thing you can do to, you know, bother Cincy is we get pressure. And if you have Watt back, I think you can get pressure. So that 5 in a divisional game at home looks like a lot of points, down to 4.5. I would expect that line to keep going down. I like Pittsburgh in that spot.
And you like the Chargers too, is that right? Another home dog this week?
I do. They've played the Chiefs well. You know, they led by 10 in Kansas City earlier in the year. They had more first downs, 100 more yards. Remember, they won in Kansas City last year. They had that game right before Christmas last year where they, you know, they lost in overtime. They had, I think, 3 or 4 drives inside the 5 where they came away with no points. So to me, the 7 just looks inflated. I would look towards the Chargers in this spot.
Thinking the same way, Michael?
Yeah, I kind of do. I think it's a little bit. I have it as 6-5-2. I wrote my numbers this morning. Yeah. I think the Chargers usually play Kansas City at home pretty well. Remember they had them beat last year, kind of fell apart.
And that is one of the couple divisional rematches. We're going to look at those in hour two. Will Hill, at not the Will Hill, joining us, though, right now on the Lombardi Line. We'll catch all of his plays in our VSiN plays from all of our guests, a document you get as a VSiN Pro subscriber. Will, thanks as always. We'll see you next Tuesday. We return with hour number two of the Lombardi Line next.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.